皆さんこんばんは。アニメアディクツアノニマスのライブブロードキャストを聞いていただきます。
You are listening to the Anime Addicts Anonymous Podcast. Make your anime addiction worse at aaapodcast.com. And now, here are your anime addicts.
Hi, guys.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome to the after party.
Yay! If you're listening to this, you probably support us.
Probably.
On something. So thank you.
Thank you. From the bottoms of our hearts.
The very bottom.
Right down there with the rest of the fandom trash that we are so loyal to.
Right down there by the valve, by your heart valves that pump blood into your arteries.
Yeah, that too. Right down there.
Okay, guys. So what's up? How's everybody doing? Are you all well liquored up or caffeinated or something?
Both, actually.
I've only drank this, so...
That does not have caffeine in it, I don't think.
Well, if it's actually green tea, it has a small amount of caffeine.
Well, it does say organically brewed green tea extract.
Extract. It probably has some... It's going to have some amount of caffeine. It's not caffeine-free.
I had a Red Bull before I came here, and then vodka for the last portion of the show, which probably explains my Bungo Stray Dogs review.
That was the most chaotic impression I've ever heard. I'm like, I'm sitting here and you went from like guy committing suicide to werewolf man to were tiger man.
Well, a lot of shit happened in the first episode, okay?
To like crazy investigatory agency to like mass violence to, you know, it was just crazy shit.
Yeah, a lot of shit went down. So sorry.
Yeah, so what's everybody got going on? You just got back from New York, didn't you, Kimiko?
I did.
Tell your story.
So it was actually pretty fantastic, even though over the course of like 5 days, oh God, even over the course of like the 5 days I went and the 4 days after I got back, I probably got in total like 36 hours worth of sleep.
Oh man.
It was really
bad.
Well,
you had some of that in an airport too.
Exactly. So like the flight left at 5 a.m. On Saturday morning, and I worked Friday night. So I didn't really get much more than like 2 or 3 hours of sleep Friday night, and then flew to New York and basically either drank my way or like just stayed up, like didn't really get much sleep the entire time I was there, which was fine because I was having a lot of fun. We went to a whole bunch of different craft beers. We went to go see Hamilton. We walked most of Central Park. Like a lot of really fun stuff was happening, but ultimately I did not get very much sleep. And then the day that we were supposed to come back, we had a connecting flight in Charlotte, and our flight from New York to Charlotte was delayed. So we missed our connecting flight from Charlotte to Tampa, and the only available flight that we could take after the flight we missed was a 7 a.m. flight the following morning, which meant that from 10:30-ish at night on Tuesday night until 7 a.m. Wednesday morning, I was stuck in the airport. Everything in the Charlotte airport closed at 10, so everything was closed by the time we got there.
You're just practicing for the Japan trip.
Apparently.
It's going to take like 27 hours to get there probably, so.
And I did manage to get like an hour of sleep in the airport. But then after that, and I finally caught my flight, I worked that day. So when I flew in at 7 a.m., I got home at about like 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning, slept until about 2, and then went to work for a 3:45 p.m. to 4 a.m. shift.
Man, you know how to have all the fun.
Exhausting fun, but fun nonetheless, because then I worked 5 straight days, all open to close shifts as well. So I made a shit ton of money, made back all of the money that I'd spent in New York.
Well, that's good, at least.
Yeah, but I basically worked a 63, 64 hour work week that week as soon as I got back. So I was dead. By Sunday night, my closing shift Sunday night, I was dead to the world. It was awful. But New York itself was fantastic. And I'm trying to focus more on the fact that I got to go to a whole bunch of really nifty places and that Hamilton was amazing and I cannot wait to go and see it with you in January.
Is New York City really dirty? Like, is there trash everywhere? And
Paris is dirtier.
Yeah.
Yeah. New York is pretty. Yeah, New York is pretty dirty. Damn. Here's the thing, from my objective viewpoint, or I try to be objective, New York is relatively cleaner visually. Obviously, like, there are certain places, like Times Square is always going to be slightly dirty because there's so many people and so much happening always.
Yeah.
But like, in general, we were kind of downtown a little bit, or like, not quite. We were in Midtown, which is where we stayed. And that whole area wasn't that bad. It was still a little bit dirty, but it wasn't awful. And the really, mostly there were only certain areas where when you passed by something, you would just, it smelled like open sewer. But 85-ish% of the time, New York was actually cleaner than I remembered it being the first time that I went. But because I had in my mind such a beautiful, like, architecturally astounding, just like gardens and the Arc de Triomphe, when I went to Paris, I was just amazed by how dirty Paris as a place was.
When we go to Japan next year, you're going to be blown away by
how
clean Tokyo is.
I've heard that.
And I'm just looking at tickets right now, and there are tickets available that don't look like horrific, like, layovers or anything either. Oh, this one has two stops. Two stops, $1,100. It's pretty cheap. It's
not bad, yeah.
Yeah, pretty not bad at all.
What are the stops?
Let's see here. This one here is, I got to select it and look at it. Oh, no, this one is from Tampa to KIX. Where's KIX? I don't know all the symbols for the airports. K-I-X. Yeah, I don't know. But normally they stop at major hubs like San Francisco, Los Angeles, Chicago, and then they go from there straight over to Osaka.
KIX is Kansai International Airport.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
So that is Osaka.
Oh, okay. So that's Tampa. It can't be a direct flight from Tampa to...
Oh, it's a direct flight, or it's two stops in Dallas and in Los Angeles before you hit KIX.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dallas, Fort Worth, and then... Okay. The total travel time, 22 hours. This isn't bad at all. You're only having a total of, like, 6 hours of layover, and it's $1,100. That's cheap. But yeah, we've been interviewing people for our Japan trip. Interviews have been going well, and... It's been really nice meeting a lot of people that have been listening for a long time and just getting to chat with people and, you know, face-to-face interaction, finally putting a face to the names we see in our chat and our emails all the time. So it's it's good. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. Other than that, playing a lot of Dark Souls.
Yeah.
And Uncharted 4 comes out on Tuesday, so that's going to be pretty big deal when that game drops, because it's going to be a big time title. I'm definitely going to get it. And I don't know if it'll replace Dark Souls 3, but it'll be the next game I play for sure. But yeah,
still a lot to do in Dark Souls 3 though.
Yeah. So what do you got going on, Chiaki? Have you are you getting your movie deal yet?
Mitsugi, you hurt my soul every time you say that.
Why?
You have no idea how frustrating it is.
Why?
Because it's one of those things that I literally have, like, no control over. Like, all the authors whom I've spoken to who have had options for their books, it's, like, random shit. Like, you don't... I mean, people have sat on the New York Times list for a while before they get an organic option. The other authors whom I've spoken to, it's, like, their husband did... contract work on a producer's house and mentioned that their wife was a novelist, and like the producer read the books and decided, like, it's that kind of story, which I'm so happy for the authors that happens to, like, I'm so excited for them,
but it's a dime a dozen.
But yeah, it's or rather it's not.
Oh
yeah,
reverses. It's not exactly a dime a dozen.
It's a sack of Joya dollar.
I mean, it's just one of those things where it's really hard to even make an option happen. And an option is like the easiest of things. An option is just like the studio throws you a grand or two and is like, we'll just sit on this in case we ever decide to make it. Like, as we all know with anime stuff, it's actually getting it made that's even impossible. I mean, I'd be happy with anything, but it's one of those things where it's like, when's the movie deal is one of those things that it's like one of the most painful things for authors to hear, Most of the authors who I speak to, the most painful things for them to hear is some variety of, are you a New York Times best-selling author? Are you a USA Today best-selling author? Why aren't you a New York Times or USA Today best-selling author? When will you be, or why aren't you? Some variation of that. And then, like, when's the movie deal? Because it's like...
I was only saying it in the sense that how is conquering the literary world going?
Well, see, that's very different.
Oh, now she's not mad anymore.
I'm not mad.
You were raging. You were giving me Moe rage.
What? That was not rage.
You got your Moe panties on a bunch.
All four sets of them.
all of your bare face panties right on the crotch.
I feel like once in a while, I really just need to actually rage at you. Like
bring
hardcore
it.
Rage at
bring
you.
Bring the pain.
Just to show you that, like, what I do is not raging.
Bring the pain.
No, but it's going well. Like I said in the podcast, I could finally announce that my next project is, the first book is titled The Alchemists of Loom, and it's the first book in the Loom saga. And that is through, I've signed with a traditional publisher for it, and I'm very excited about that. Of course, there's a give and take and pros and cons with everything, but I'm very excited because this means that the book will hopefully have a large distribution, and you can find it just in bookstores, on bookshelves, and there's a cool factor to that. But what I'm even more excited about is the cost of the books will be a lot cheaper. So I'm happy for that for my readers, and have a bunch of manuscripts with the editors right now.
Sounds like you're really busy.
Yeah,
you're always busy.
I am.
I don't know how you do it, honestly, but I'm a lazy piece of shit. So.
No, you're not.
How's life up at the bar, Kimiko?
It's going pretty good.
Any drunkard stories?
Actually, not
your,
really.
Your bar
I told
is so
you,
boring.
It's not boring. It's chill.
It's boring. Someone needs to get into a bar fight.
We have not had any bar fights.
Where's Patrick Swayze?
Yet.
Roadhouse.
There was one situation.
Great, tell
that's
your story.
A little class.
Tell your story.
It's nothing super exciting. It's just it's gonna come with any bar fare. All right, but we did have a group of about six people who I've never seen at the bar come in recently, and it was obvious they were all very much like
biker gang.
No, we do get a biker gang that come every now and then, but they're really cool people. They're really nice. They always order one or two drinks and then go home. Like, they're just like super chill. The first time that I saw them though, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning when they showed up, and I literally texted the owner of the bar being like, hey, so we just got a literal caravan of bikers that came up and they're pulling in, it's 2 a.m and I was just about to start closing up, and I just wanted to check to know if like you've seen them before. And he was like, oh yeah, those guys are great, give them a beer on me. And I'm like, oh.
All right.
Well,
so what happened?
The more
what
you know
they do?
So this wasn't the biker gang. This was an entirely different gang. So this was a group of six people I'd never seen before. Yeah, they were all very classic, like, frat house sorority girl types.
There were
three girls and three guys, all couples. It was like a triple date, and the guys were paying for all of the girls' drinks, and the girls were a little bit already kind of inebriated, but not that bad, like enough that I felt comfortable serving them like their first beer, but was kind of gonna keep an eye on them for their second.
So the guys are trying to get laid,
probably.
Got it.
And I guess one guy kept on going outside and like going on the phone and then coming back in and like going outside and just standing out in the parking lot and then coming back in. And then I guess at one point or another, he must have gone to the bathroom and come back out. And then as a group, they all come up to the front of the bar and they're like, hey, we're going to go tap out right now. Okay, is that cool? And I'm like, yeah. Like, it just seems so sudden that they were just all like, we got to go now, peace. So they all come, they pay all of their tabs, and they bolt it. And about 5 minutes later, this guy who is a regular, he's got a mug in our bar, he comes up to me and he's like, him and another guy who work there come up to me. How good are you with the smell of vomit?
Oh no.
Huh. And I'm just like,
oh boy, this is getting good.
And
what'd you say
I remember,
to him? What'd you say?
I was busy that night, I didn't really, it's my favorite.
There's a scotch that smells
delicious.
Just like vomit.
There is, how'd you know? So I wasn't thinking when he asked me the question. I was like, oh, I can't, like, if I smell vomit instantly, I will probably vomit as well. Like, that's just, I'm okay with looking at it, but smelling it, not, no, thank you. And the guy that I went to New York with, a guy who does the taxes for my job, he looks at me and he goes, you owe me a bar tab. I'm going to do you a solid. And I was like, what do you, and then I realize he goes into the back for a mop and bucket. And I'm like, oh God. Turns out that one of the guys in the group of six apparently had either had a little bit too much to drink or something wasn't sitting right. He threw up all over everything.
God.
We're talking like he aimed for the sink instead of the toilet level, threw up over everything. God. And instead of doing the right thing and just telling me, because shit happens, it's a bar, like somebody's going to throw up. It's that just comes with the territory. Him and his group of friends just bolted. Like they up and left without saying anything, without doing anything, without letting anybody know. And so the guy who does the taxes, our accountant guy, actually cleaned everything up in there for me. And I bought him like four or five drinks that night. I was just like, no,
how
you
much
have
is
no
four
idea.
Or five drinks worth?
Well, he has an employee discount. So it ended up cutting the price in half. But like, yeah, I probably still owe him at least two or three bar tabs for that. Because to me, I'm like, you saved me from throwing up all over everything just by being a good person and cleaning everything up.
I'm told,
that was that Sunday night when I was completely dead on my, like, I was dead on my feet. I was so tired from working those five straight open to close shifts just off of coming back from New York that, like, when I heard that, I thought I was going to start crying. I'm like, really?
I'm told
this happens now.
I'm told that smiling suppresses the gag reflex.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I've heard of gag as well as crying. If it, like, the crying reflex, smiling will actually stop that. And I have put that to the test.
Oh, see, I can picture multiple moments in my past where I've been like near tears and tried to like smile to pretend that I wasn't near tears, and it just made me like cry worse.
But it's like one of those, like, I think to me, when I've used it before, when I've used that technique before to stop myself from crying at inopportune moments, it's not like this is someone who I can, like, if it's someone who I can break down in front of,
then you're gonna break down.
Then I'm
that
gonna break
sense.
Down. Like, it's one of those, like, I'm okay. No, really, I'm okay. And then I just start crying.
Yeah.
Don't talk like that. You're going to get our listeners excited.
Oh, God. Whereas,
well, we did
like,
talk about suppressing the gag reflex, so.
Whereas, like,
oh my
it,
God.
Kimiko.
It wasn't, no, it was Godius Maximus said blowjobs, question mark. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I would connect those dots.
This is
too.
Not a hentai episode.
Sorry.
we don't have nearly enough alcohol for that.
True.
But like when I'm in a situation where it's like I really am not going to start crying in front of these people for XYZ type of thing, I've noticed that
smiling works.
Yeah, but it has to be like, the problem is that it has to be a pretty big smile, which then you just look fucking crazy. It's not like a little like turn up at the corners of the mouth works, like it has to be like a legit smile. And then they're like, why are you smiling?
Then you're the guy from the Extends commercials.
I'm just really happy right now.
You guys know what I'm talking about, right?
I do.
What happened to those commercials? Did someone prove that Extends was a bunch of bullshit? No one is talking to me.
Maybe?
I am talking to myself.
I don't know. I mean, it's been so long since I've seen those. I have absolutely no idea. Like,
was that an actual medicine or was that like an herbal supplement that you could buy?
Oh, it's probably like an herbal supplement. There's no way that would pass like FDA regulations.
Why not? Viagra did.
Yeah, but Viagra actually had like clinical trials and stuff.
So Extends could have had clinical trials.
Yeah, but I don't think they did.
And that's what I'm asking.
Extends you could buy in, like, I saw it at like 7-Elevens. Viagra you have to have a prescription for.
Okay. Anyway, so that's a sad story that people just puke all over everything and don't take responsibility. But like,
I mean, it kind of happens.
What would you have had them do? Apologize? Just say I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, that's just, it's common courtesy to at the very least let you know that like even if they didn't say I'm sorry, even if it was just kind of like, hey, I puked in your bathroom, all right, bye. Like,
I puked all over everything.
At least, because what if the guy who went in there next hadn't gone in there for like an hour and it was just sitting there getting like dried and crusty and gross? Like, that would have been so much worse than just letting me know when it was something that could easily be cleaned up. You know what I mean? So like, I don't know. I it sucks.
The chat is still on gag reflex. You said gag reflex, and now the chat thinks we're all talking about sex.
That was on you, though. No. You were the one who said smiling prevents gag reflex.
Yeah, but I was clear about it. Smiling prevents gag reflex.
But people have selective hearing, so it's kind of like gag reflex.
You know what I mean? She'll look happy while she's servicing you.
Oh, well, I'm not going to delve.
Okay.
It's hard to smile.
The other thing that suppresses gag reflex is breathing through your nose and rotating your feet in opposite directions.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
No, it's true. And I know it because I have a really bad gag reflex. And when I go to the dentist...
And when I'm given a huge one. And when I've got a huge one in front of me.
This is legit. When I go to the dentist to get x-rays, I would struggle with the ones that got all the way to the back.
I know exactly what you're talking about. The
x-ray, like, and they're big, too.
Yeah,
but they are. Or the gels. Gels that you have to put on, or like the molds.
And it gets all the way back there.
When they're really big and they get all the way back there, my gag reflex just takes over. I can't stop it.
And you're trying not to let it hit your gag reflex. And so I had a dental technician. This is a true story. I'm not trying to be pervy.
Breathe through your nose and rotate your feet opposite directions. Is it like a distractionary method?
That's exactly what it is. She was like, breathing through your nose helps because if you're not breathing through your mouth, you're not like thinking about your mouth, and you're not the air isn't creating sensation around the thing in your mouth.
Yeah.
So breathing through your nose helps that, and then it's literally a distractionary method where because your one foot is going clockwise, the other foot is going counterclockwise, your brain has to think about doing that. So it's not actually I get it. Goethe's Maximus.
You look really dumb while you do it.
I get it that it's a placebo. Like
that's why it's distractionary. It's not something that like actually scientifically fixes anything.
But it's one of
those. Just like I heard from somebody that you're supposed to like hold on to your thumb. You're supposed to like grip your thumb at the socket, and that's supposed to do something. And like I actually have on good word from somebody who uses this a lot that it helps.
Oh, is it? Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
A mutual friend of ours is the one who told me this. And I mean, I've never had cause to use it. I think I tried to do it once when I got the dentist thing done, but I'm bad. I'm really, really, bad with the molds because it's this mold. If any of you have ever gotten braces or Invisalign, and you know what we're talking about, where it's like this pink mold stuff that's in a tooth container.
And it usually oozes out and like trickles down your throat.
They like shove it up onto your teeth, and then it just like sludges into the back of your throat onto your soft palate. And they're like, try not to vomit. I'm like, okay.
When that ooze just goes down your throat. Oh my God, you guys are ridiculous.
See, for me, the last time
suddenly we have more viewers than the actual episode.
It's not fluoride. Fluoride is easy because fluoride is like, it's like
this
foam.
Because this gets hard.
Word spread that women are talking about sex on YouTube.
Chiaki, it's soft and pink and then it hardens.
And it gets into the back of your throat. And it's really difficult to deal with when it does. But no, legit though, because the last time I had to do this was when I was getting a dental crown, and it's one of my molars in the back. And I had to sit, and of course you're like, your head is tilted back, and it's like way back there. And it's just like
You have to hold it there for like 10 minutes until it hardens and creates a mold of your teeth.
Yeah, and you can't move. Like if you move when it's there, it F's up the mold.
And then they have to do it again. I had to do it because when I got Invisalign after I fucked up my, or pardon me, after I screwed up my teeth, I accidentally like twisted one of my teeth and without wearing my my retainers. And so I ended up having to get Invisalign, and they had to do the exact same thing on bottom and top.
Uh-huh.
And it just like, it feels suffocating.
It does.
Like you feel like on the constant verge of just like.
But it's literally like one of those little palette things, and they put, I'm not trying to be pervy here. It's pink goo, and they stick it on your teeth
until it hardens.
And because they put a bunch of it, it gets everywhere in your mouth. And if it's anywhere close to the back of your mouth, it's like halfway down your throat by the time it gets hard.
Oh, I'm like getting uncomfortable thinking about it. Like, just like, ah. Yeah. It's terrible. Some people in the chat understand what we're talking
it's
about.
It's always hard. But it's always tough when it gets hard while it's in your throat. You just don't know how big it's going to get.
Unless he's got extendo arm, we're sitting a little too far away.
The unnatural says, what am I doing?
However, Chiaki and I are incredibly close.
I'm sitting here listening to these two girls talk about going to the dentist and making it sound like sex.
Yes.
I'm pleasuring myself while I listen to them talk about going to the dentist. That's very sexy.
No, I think they're saying pleasuring
me.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what it was. Yeah. But, you know.
I have a really long arm.
It's like, he's got his extendo arm.
I should be in the NBA with my 15-foot wingspan.
I occasionally speak with the speed of a Tommy gun. Awesome. Sorry if I speak so quickly that I am sometimes misunderstood. That was Wesley Washington. Thank you.
I went to the dentist recently.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I haven't been in way too long. I should probably go.
I got
get
a pretty good
cleaning.
Clean bill of health overall. Nice. I have terrible teeth. So it's like every time I go into the dentist, I expect them to tell me that I have a cracked tooth and I'm going to need a root canal or something terrible. So, yeah.
I'm usually pretty square on dentist visits. This is probably really entertaining for all of you guys. Dentist visits. But no,
everybody loves that.
I ended up, so I always had issues that were just basically related to my laziness. In terms of after I got braces, then after I got Invisalign, I just kind of wouldn't do what I was supposed to and my teeth would always shift because I have awful, awful teeth. And so now the last time that I went to the dentist, they were like, you know what? Screw this. We're just going to put in permanent retainers. So I have permanent retainers on my top, my top four teeth. Oops, I hit the mic. On my top four teeth and on my bottom four teeth. So I've got little pieces of wire.
Right now?
Right now.
I have a bar.
Yeah? We might have similar.
I have a bar on the floor of my mouth in between all the front teeth that holds them in place.
Can I see?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what I have.
Yeah,
but I have it on the top and bottom.
Oh. It makes it really hard to floss.
It does, really but I annoying. Also don't floss very often either. I really should.
I have
probably more so having this the retainer bars.
I have no bars in my mouth. I should have been more regular with my retainer. My teeth settled a bit. I have too
Your
many.
Your teeth look great though.
Thanks. I have too many teeth in my bottom jaw.
I'm a shark.
No, I have the normal requisite amount of teeth. Wow, you guys. I have the normal requisite amount of teeth for a human, but my jaw is small, and so
makes it hard to do to take the big ones.
Well, we already talked about
it. It depends on
gag
how
reflex.
Much people like teeth.
And so I my back teeth grew in almost like flush against my bone.
Ooh.
And I actually had like gum that was over my back teeth. And I got it lasered off because the only other option... Yeah, that smelt wonderful.
Oh, God.
Because the only other option was... and you could smell it and taste it at the same time.
That probably works really well for super violent portions of your book, right? If there's ever a situation where you need to know what the burning... smell of burning flesh is.
Yeah, or the taste. I should have had two teeth pulled on my bottom teeth. Because that's how compact it all is.
But instead, they just lasered off your gums.
The dentist this was actually an oral surgeon who did it, and he was like, the dentist and the oral surgeon were in agreement where they were like, look, we have two options because if we let this sit, you're gonna get crud basically back up under there, and you're never gonna be able to clean it. And it's so close to your jawbone that if that tooth gets really infected, then it could lead to your jaw getting really infected and diseased.
Dear God.
And that's not good. And so they were like, we have two options. One is we just pull the teeth and reset you in braces and do what we should have done to begin with and create more space in your mouth. They're like, or we laser off as much of the gum as we can at the back there. And then if you can keep it clean, we'll just say it's good forever. And I'm
the
like,
the tooth fairy
let's do
will
that.
Come and give you a dollar.
So. I would demand way more than a dollar
you're a good little,
for all of that.
If you're a good little Chiaki.
So that's This is fun. The talking about our dental history, random ass it. After party. But
yeah. I take better care of my teeth now because my dad is only like 64 and he has no teeth left. He's lost all of his teeth.
Same thing happened to my dad.
Because he didn't brush them properly. He never went to the dentist. He didn't floss. He didn't do anything. And he just lost all his teeth. He's 64.
Yeah, my dad is 58, and he ended up having to get caps put on all of his teeth like 15 years ago. So, like, wow. I try to be better about.
That's really expensive.
Yeah, yeah. Well.
Yeah. So, they're wondering in the chat if we're talking about the toothbrush anime.
There's a toothbrush anime?
It's probably for little kids to like make them brush their teeth during in school and stuff. Did you brush know them, that in them, Japanese brush schools, them. They brush their teeth after every lunch, and they have a song they play in the classrooms, and the song is like. It's like this. You know how you might have someone saying, like, counting when you're stretching?
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, stretch, you know, whatever. It's like that, but it's for brushing your teeth, and they do the upper right and the upper left and the lower right and the lower left, and there's, like, a song they play. And every kid brushes their teeth after they eat lunch, and a lot of the teachers do it, too. Try to be, like, a good...
Example.
And then you wonder, like, they care about their teeth, and then everyone has bad teeth anyway. Like, Japanese people have the most messed up teeth you've ever seen.
Do they
really?
Well,
you know, I think what it is, and this is something that I've noticed when I've traveled outside the U.S., is there's a difference between not straight teeth and
actually messed up dental hygiene.
Actually, like, bad dental hygiene. And I'm not saying it's one or the other, but, like, I feel like America, and I have... nothing to base this off of than my personal perception when I've traveled and stuff, but I feel like America is highly concerned a lot more than other countries about the image of our teeth, and so whitening is a lot more of a thing here. Braces and orthodontics are a lot more of a thing here, where I feel like in a lot of other countries you get braces if you have something that's like really severe with your teeth, but if it's just like, oh, your teeth are kind of crooked or they aren't perfectly spaced, then you don't necessarily go into braces. Whereas like here in the States, I feel like every kid goes into braces. I feel like that's just, yeah. I don't want to say every kid, but like most kids will go into braces.
It's usually a sign that like if you don't have like the finances to give your kids braces, like it's almost frowned upon, which I think is stupid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, people will look down on you if you don't have
and there's like a
orthodontia
ton of brace
done.
Financing and stuff. To
I know.
Make it happen, which
and
I'm like, if you can't afford it, don't do
if
it.
If there, you know, if there's nothing wrong with your teeth, it shouldn't be necessary to the level that it's necessary for children. Like, there is an age in which 90% of all children in America are expected to get braces. And it's like,
I had braces for like 5 years.
Say did I.
I will also say too, and I've spoken with some people in different countries about this, specifically India and Japan. There's a different perception too about preventative measures and when you like get things done. Like for example, here in the States, if I have a small cavity, like even if it's tiny, I expect that shit to be filled. If it's a cavity, it's a cavity. It's not going away.
Yeah.
It can only get worse from there. Whereas in Japan, the dentistry mindset was, oh, it's a small cavity. We'll just leave it be.
Really?
And I'm like, no.
I choose the other option.
Godius Maximus in the chat says that it's bad to brush your teeth after meals because it creates an acid-alkali reaction in your mouth. The food is generally acid and the toothpaste is generally alkaline. So it creates some kind of a bad reaction in your mouth that does something that...
Huh, I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
I read a really interesting... I'm trying to find it.
You know, it's bad for your gums because if you put too much like abrasion on your gums, it can cause your gums to recede.
Here it is. This is clear back into 2010. I read something interesting about some researchers, and this is like actually legit, have been researching the enzyme that's responsible for plaque sticking to teeth. And I've also read like about the enzyme that's responsible for the breakdown of sugar in your mouth, and that reaction is what eats away the enamel of your teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And I've read some interesting articles basically about researchers that are trying to make toothpastes or washes that basically change that chemical reaction or something so that it no longer breaks down the enamel of your teeth or makes it stick to your teeth or whatever, which I thought was really interesting, that method of fighting cavities or whatever by changing that kind of reaction in your mouth. But I'm not researched enough to say for sure one way or another. I just have read that.
Anyway, this is terribly interesting, but I think we should wrap it up. So thanks everybody for listening. Let's see here. We covered Kimiko's puke story.
Yep.
And we covered Chiaki's books, and we covered
dental care
and sexual innuendo.
Hooray!
Unintentional sexual innuendo.
Everybody wins.
The best of after parties.
And we'll see you guys next time, next week, on the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast. Thanks for listening, and stay cool.
Bye, everybody.
See ya.